Next on the teleconference is Michigan State offensive lineman Joel Foreman. Foreman helped anchor a front line to help the Spartans rank second in the conference in both passing offense and sacks allowed. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
If you could talk a little bit about what it means to play in the first Big Ten football championship game, and then we'll take a few questions.
I think it's just quite an honor. You know, we've pointed to this all season. Being the first to do this is something special. And, you know, the road to this game has been, you know, has some ups and downs. But, you know, we just feel blessed to be able to get the opportunity to make our dreams come true.
All right. Thanks, Joel. Let's go to questions.
If you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Brian Bennett with ESPN.com.
Hey, Joel, I was just wondering what you thought about winning back-to-back 10-win seasons and, you know, winning a share of the title last year down at championship game. What has that done to establish your program as maybe a powerhouse now in the Big Ten?
You know, when Coach D got here, being his first recruiting class, we kind of pointed to winning championships. And, you know, that's something that hadn't been done at Michigan State in a while until he got here. And, you know, last year we went out there and, you know, obviously shared a piece of the Big Ten championship. And, you know, we were very proud of that. But we wanted to be able to come out this year and, you know, get the opportunity to go to the first ever Big Ten championship game and be the sole winners of the Big Ten championship. So that's something that we pointed to and you know, put on our seniors to be able to accomplish.
And what would it mean to you guys to get to the first Rose Bowl in a long time there?
You know, I think it's been the first Rose Bowl since 1988, and, you know, most of that's when basically the senior class had, you know, was born. So, you know, it would be a tremendous thing for Michigan State to be able to return to the Rose Bowl and get an opportunity to play, you know, in that level of a game and something that you've dreamed about playing in since you were a kid. So, you know, it's just really a dream come true to be able to get that opportunity and be able to go out there and show what you have.
Thank you.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Teddy Greenstein with Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Joel, are you guys aware that you're the underdogs in this game, at least according to Vegas, and will you think you'll be talking about that this week?
I haven't seen anything regarding the line for the game or who's the underdog or who's favored, but, you know, what we're focused on is going out there and you know, getting to where we want to be and, you know, just being blessed enough to be able to play in this game. You know, obviously, you know, we let the stuff outside of, you know, this building take care of itself. And that, you know, the line that who's favored and who isn't favored isn't going to win you a football game. It's not going to win you a football game. It's not going to lose you a football game. We know we need to go out there and play our best football and put us in the best opportunity to win this game.
Joel, do you guys ever sort of embrace the underdog mentality, even if it's just, you know, when you're playing against Michigan and maybe there are more Michigan fans in the state? Do you guys ever sort of feed off that?
There's been a lot of times this year that I think we've been the underdog and put in that position. And, you know, I don't necessarily think we embrace it, but, you know, it's just something that we look at and you know, people can speculate what's going to happen and what's going on, but that's why you play the game, and that's why we get the opportunity to go out there and compete and show what we have. And, you know, we've been underdogs numerous times this season over and over and over, and people have not believed in us. But, you know, it's important that the people in this building believe in each other, and that's what we have here, and that's what we play as a team. And we know no matter what, the people in this building are the people that's going to determine whether we win or lose. So, you know, we go out there as a team, and, you know, we just try to play together.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Rittenberg with ESPN.com.
Hey, Joel. Coach D'Antonio was talking yesterday about Kirk Cousins' ability to adapt in different situations, different groups of people. I was just curious if you've been able to observe that, you know, seeing him in the locker room versus in other settings.
I think Kirk has a tremendous ability to be able to, you know, play and react. And, you know, he has a unique gift where, you know, he's a tremendous leader, you know, one of the best leaders I've ever seen. And a leader needs to be able to go out there and, you know, in times of, you know, trials and tribulations and adversity, perform and come away with good attitude and be able to go out there and no matter what's happening and you know, lead the team. I think Kirk has done that. You can see that in, you know, high-pressure situation where he's made plays happen and not only, you know, performed at a high level, but, you know, brought this team to where, you know, put it in a position to win.
And, Joel, how important is it for you guys to keep your own bowl fate in your own hands versus last year when it was out of your hands and obviously you guys didn't get to go to a BCS game?
You know, last year, you know, we kind of were, it was outside the realm of our possibility for us to, you know, make it to a BCS game just because of the circumstances that happened. And, you know, we've pointed to this year to where, you know, it's up to us. You know, we determine our own fate, whether we go to the Rose Bowl or not, or, you know, whether we win this Big Ten championship or not. And, you know we got to go out there and, you know, go out there and do what we've wanted to do and what we've pointed to do this whole season.
Thanks, Joel.
Yeah. Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Patricus with the Journal Sentinel.
Hey, Joel, I'm not sure if you're aware of the numbers, but both last year and this year in the first meeting, you guys converted 50% of your third downs against them. It really hurt them with some big third down plays. I'm just curious, what do you think the keys have been to be able to convert that well and stay on the field and wear their defense down in the games?
I think it's a mindset. You know, we've had, you know, some trouble this year with converting third downs, but it's something that we focused on and week in and week out that, you know, we pointed to be able to improve. And, you know, that's just a mindset. When you get on third down, it's just make or break, and you got to be able to convert to keep the drive going. And, you know, sustaining long drives in big games, and especially against, you know, Wisconsin, who has a very, you know, potent offense and can put points up very fast, you know, big drives and sustaining those drives are extremely important. You know, we play teams all through the year that, you know, have the ability to put points on real quick. And, you know, I think we do too, but, you know, we need to go out there and control the clock and, you know, keep those, you know, drives going with converting those third downs.
Thank you.
Yep.
Your next question comes from Joe Rexroad with Lansing State Journal.
Joel, in general, offensively in that first meeting, you guys had probably one of your best nights of the season. If you could go back to that, why the success on that night, and what do you guys need to do better in this game against that Wisconsin defense?
I think just like I mentioned that, you know, it was a mindset. I think we came out ready. We had a great week of preparation. You know, it was a big game, and we need to go out there and show up. And, you know, I think that we did that, and I think that was also a time when our offensive line had been playing together for a couple games now as a unit because we had some injuries and guys in and out, and we were kind of starting to gel. And, you know, I think we're a better offensive line. We're a better team from when we first played them, but I think they're also a better team when we first played them. And obviously you improve and those guys get experience. But, you know, as I mentioned that week, leading up to that week, Wisconsin is always a game that the team that's willing to go out there for 60 minutes and play, you know, tough football is the team that's going to win that game. It's a really classic Big Ten matchup. It's one of those games that's a very physical game that you look to on your schedule, and you always know it's going to be a physical game. So physicality and the toughness and the mentality is what's going to win this game and what has always won this game.
Thanks, Joel.
Yep.
We have time for one more question for Joel.
And your final question comes from the line of Andy Baggett with Wisconsin State Journal.
Joel, thanks for taking the time. See, could you just go back to the first time Kirk Cousins ducked his head into the huddle with you and how that's evolved from then until now, his presence?
You know, Kirk is, you know, a lot of people get to see Kirk as a leader off the field. And, you know, obviously I'm in a unique position to be able to see him and how he leads on the field and day in and day out on the football team. You know, to see the maturity that, you know, he has continued to grow in since he first played. And, you know, I played a year before Kirk had played. I played with Brian Hoyer when he was here, and Kirk took over in the midst of a quarterback battle, and, you know, some people didn't know if he was ready or not. And but, you know, he always had faith in himself, and he knew what he was capable of. And, you know, to see the person that he's become and not only the football player, but, you know, the representative of Michigan State is amazing. You know, he has great pocket presence. He's he's constantly bringing guys up, and you know, you can see that, and that's obviously why he's been a captain for 3 years straight. You know, I don't think that's been done in a long time at Michigan State, and most teams in general don't see that. And you know, that's just a testament to the kind of leader he is and the kind of person he is.
Thank you. Great job.
Thank you.
Hey, Joel, has Trenton joined you?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, good pass going on. We'll see you in Indy.
All right, thank you.
Next on the teleconference is Michigan State defensive back Trenton Robinson. Robinson ties the team lead with 4 interceptions and tied for 4th on the defense with 62 tackles. Trenton, thanks for joining us. Trenton, do we have you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Great. If you could talk a little bit about playing in the first Big Ten football championship game, and then we'll take some questions.
It's, you know, the most exciting feeling I've had since I've been at Michigan State, just to know that we're getting this opportunity to go and play against such a great team. And just for our program and everything, where we set these goals and where we want to be. So, you know, every emotions are high around here. Everybody's excited about getting the opportunity to go in to this Big Ten championship game and play Wisconsin, who I think that's who we should be playing. I think that's a great team, and that's who we should be playing, and everybody's excited to play those guys again.
Yeah, thanks, Trent. Let's go to questions.
If you have a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Adam Rittenberg with ESPN.com.
Hey, Trent, I just want to ask you about Coach Narduzzi. What stood out to you about playing for him now for the past 4 years?
I always say this after every game about Coach Narduzzi. I think he's a genius back with the with how we watch film and how he breaks everything down. Him and the GAs and the coaches, I think they do such a great job with that, because every game we go into, you know, even the games that we've lost, we lost off of not executing. It's not like bad play coaches play call or anything. It's us just missing a tackle or blowing a coverage, because he does such a good job to where we know everything that the team is going to bring at us. Everything the team throws at us, we're not shocked. We're all like, oh, man, I can't believe we just let them get away with that, because we've seen it in practice all week several times. It's an honor to play, you know, under Coach Narduzzi. I think he does a great job.
And then how does he blend the scheme part with the emotional part of defense? Because I know that's a big part of it. I know he can be an emotional guy sometimes.
He just, you know, he doesn't make things complicated or anything like that. He brings it on. He says, this is what we're going to do. You know, all the guys, we learned all of our defense. Everybody on our defense knows our defense because we've learned it in practice, you know, our plays all through camp. So nothing is really complicated for us. He makes it as simple as possible. And if the guys aren't liking something, like a certain player or something like that, coach would be like, you guys liking this? Oh, okay, scratch it. We're not doing that. If you guys don't like it, if you're not comfortable with it, we're not doing it. So he makes sure that all of us players are comfortable with the calls that he has, and his and it's a great thing.
Thanks, Trent.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Teddy Greenstein with Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Trent, there are obviously a lot of good running backs in the Big Ten. What separates Monty Ball from some of those guys?
I think he's phenomenal. He runs so hard. Like, every carry he gets, you could just tell the type of work that he does in the weight room and just at practice and everything. Because every opportunity he gets, he hits the hole. And you know when he's coming through the hole, it's going to be a collision.
Hmm.
And it's a great thing. I love that about him, and I think he's a great back. And we're excited to, you know, get an opportunity to face, you know, such a great running back again, because I have a lot of respect for, you know, this guy. I think he runs hard. I think he lost some weight since last year or something, got more solid, and he hits the hole hard every time, and his feet are always going to be running. You could hit him. If you don't wrap him, he's going to keep going. And we're excited about that.
Can you talk about the first time you saw him on the field this year? Were you sort of like, man, where's the rest of this guy with all the weight he lost?
No, I was just looking like, okay, you know, I can tell that he's ready to take over, you know, this position as a starting running back over there, and I could tell that he, you know, put the time in and the effort in to get that position where he's at right now and to do the things that he's been doing all season.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Tom Morhern with Wisconsin State Journal.
Trenton, you guys have had some big games with Wisconsin recently, and they've been really good games, competitive. Is there a little bit of a rivalry growing here, do you think, between the two teams?
Yes, you know, this is a game, when we play Wisconsin, I love to play them. That's because it's how football is. You know, we know what they're going to do. They know what we're going to do. We're going to pound that ball, and they're going to pound the ball. And that's just, there's nothing like it. I was thinking about this last night. I love to play them. They're a good football program, and you're never going to go into a game of Wisconsin like, oh, this is going to, you know it's going to be a good game, and then you know if you don't come ready to play, that it's either going to be a blowout or, you know, something bad's going to happen. So every year preparing for them, it's always fun, and you know that you're going to be hitting.
Do you think there's a lot of similarities between you guys?
Yes. You know, they play pound football. You know, they run the ball. That's what they do. That is, they establish the run first. That's what they do, and they have the backs in line to do it. So do we. I feel like we have great running backs and a great offensive line, and I feel like they have a great running backs and a great offensive line and a great quarterback, you know, wide receivers to get the job done. But I feel like we're very similar because their defense is rough nose. You know, they play hard defense, and we play hard defense. So it's going to be a grudge match. It's going to be, you know, a lot of hitting, and it's going to be a good game.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Joe Rexroad with Lansing State Journal.
I know you asked about Moneyball. Now I got to ask you about Russell Wilson. You guys obviously were able to force him into a couple mistakes. He rebounded, made some plays late in that game. But how do you view your performance against him in that game, and can you duplicate that? I think he's had, you know, two or three picks were against you guys that night. Have you seen anything from him on film different since that game, and what are the challenges of playing against a guy like Russell Wilson?
First off, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I think he's a great quarterback, and everything he does back there, he manages the game well, and he makes real good decisions. But on our part, I feel like we did some things that game that were pretty good, and I feel like we, after watching the film of that game, we have a lot of things we work to get better at, because we gave up some big plays towards the end of the stretch, you know, blown coverages, missed tackles, little things like that. And I feel like if we eliminate those this game, which we are very capable of doing, and I'm sure we're going to do, then game shouldn't be like it was last time.
Thanks, sir.
Your next question comes from the line of Matt Chardonnay with Detroit News.
Hey, Trenton. I just want to ask you, the coach talked last week about national respect, and you know, already this game's opened to Wisconsin like a 9-10-point favorite. Does it kind of surprise you that the way you've played against them, that you guys are an underdog that much already?
No, it doesn't surprise me, because every game we go into, it's been the same thing for as long as I can remember. Every game that we go into, we are the underdogs. Everybody says that Michigan State's going to lose by this and that amount, and, you know, we just go out and we play football, and we know what we're capable of. So all those spreads and all that, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't matter to us. Because when we go out and we do it, everybody has their mouth open like, wow, Michigan State, they are here to play, and that's what we're here for. We're here to stay.
And I know you were not obviously out on the field, but the Wisconsin players talked a lot about trying to put that Hail Mary pass behind them. Is that something that is hard for you guys as players to forget at all, considering what a big moment it was for you guys?
You know, that Hail Mary pass, it was great for – it was, you know, great that Keith came down with the ball and everything. But besides that, we made a lot of mistakes to even get ourselves in a position to where we were going to have to be throwing a Hail Mary pass. You know, we blew some coverages at the end of the game. We missed some tackles on defense. Some things that we have to correct, and we're going to correct so that we don't have to depend on a Hail Mary pass next game, because after watching that film again, there was just some things towards the end of the game that, you know, we kind of blew and put our offense in a position to where they had to throw a Hail Mary pass.
Thanks, Trent.
We have time for one more question for Trenton.
Your final question comes from one of Jeff Patricus with the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, Trent, you mentioned Monty Ball, but you guys were able to send him to the bench for a little bit for about 6 minutes left in that second quarter, and you shut down their offense from that point on. Could you sense that when he went out, they sagged a little bit, and you guys were able to take advantage of that and then steal the lead back?
I don't feel like they sagged at all. You know, they still have another good running back who came in, and I feel like tried to fill the role or whatever. He knows what he's doing. He's been playing there for as long as Moneyball. So, you know, I don't feel like they sagged or anything. I just feel like that was, you know, he's a big key in their offense. And when a big key in your offense goes down, then you have to change up your game and do different things. And I think that's what helped us to really get back in the game.
Trenton, is Kirk available?
Yes.
All right, that's all the time we have. We'll see you in Indy. Next on the teleconference is Michigan State quarterback Kirk Cousins. Cousins ranks among the top three in the conference in pass efficiency and passing yards per game and has thrown 21 touchdown passes. Kirk, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You talk a little bit about what it means to play in the first title game, and then we'll take some questions.
It'll be a great atmosphere. I'm very excited for the opportunity to be a part of it. We've talked about it since it was in created last spring, and we got our schedule. We talked about how neat it would be to be able to play in the championship game, and here we are with that opportunity. So we're thankful for where our season has brought us, and obviously we feel like this game is as big as any one we've played in.
All right, thanks, Kirk. Let's go to questions.
If you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Andy Baggett with Wisconsin State Journal.
Hey, Kirk, thanks for taking the time today. At a press conference earlier today, Russell talked about shaking your hand after your first meeting and basically saying maybe we'll see each other again. Did you think at that time that this was this looked like it might be a possibility?
Yeah, at the time that's what I told him. I went up to him and I said, first of all, you're a class act and you're the real deal as a person and not just as a football player. But secondly, I think we're going to see you guys again. So tough battle here today, but it may not be the end of it. And I think both of us thought that would be the case, and here we are.
Kirk, how would you compare this rivalry with Wisconsin? And it appears to be a budding rivalry with Michigan. I don't know if you could put them in the same context, but based on the outcomes of the last couple of games with Wisconsin, it looks like you've got one going.
Well, the last few games have been very competitive. Going back to 2007 was when I first came here. I was redshirting, and we lost a tight one up there in Madison. And then in 08, we won a close one here in East Lansing. And then in 09, they got us pretty good in Madison, and obviously what happened last year and this year. So it's been a great rivalry, two programs with similar styles, similar coaching styles, similar philosophies, and both recruit great talent. And I think it is somewhat of a rivalry, and the more games we have of the magnitude that the last couple have been and the one upcoming, I think you're going to make it more and more of a true rivalry.
Great job. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Adam Rittenberg with ESPN.com.
Hey, Kirk. Coach D'Antonio yesterday was talking about your adaptability in different groups to adapt to different types of people. Where does that come from?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's something that I'm just wired to be a relational person, and I enjoy being around all different kinds of people. And I think that helps playing the quarterback position because you do have to relate to a wide variety of people. And I think you learn a lot from your parents and how they interact with people. And both my mom and dad have had a big influence on my life. And so I would say in that same area of just relating to people, they've had a big influence and have taught me a great deal about what it means to treat everyone as they ought to be treated and to respect everyone regardless of their differences.
Have you always been comfortable in that role? I mean, some people are really comfortable in the locker room but struggle outside. Some people are better on the outside than in the locker room. But it's something that you grew into, or was it something that you've always had?
It's who I am. I'm a relational person. So I would struggle in an environment where there aren't a great deal of relationships. I would struggle in a place where people aren't relational, and I would thrive and succeed in a place where people are relating a great deal and people are open and friendly and communicating. So I've learned a lot about myself in my 5 years here at Michigan State, and that's certainly one of the things I've learned is that I succeed in a place that's a relational environment, and I've tried as a quarterback and a leader on this team to make it that in the locker room and to be able to break down walls and build chemistry, and I think that one of the reasons we're playing in the game coming this weekend is because we do have strong chemistry.
Thanks, Kirk.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Pointer with the Indianapolis Star.
Kirk, good afternoon. I just wanted to ask you, um, uh, my, I uh, Michigan State, you guys are, well, Wisconsin's a 9.5-point favorite in this game and stuff, and I know you're going to say you don't look at the line very much, but when you hear something like that, is that a motivating factor, especially considering you beat them, and do you suspect that's going to be mentioned between you and your teammates here in the coming days?
There'll be plenty of motivating factors between both teams, regardless of what a spread is predicted for the game. When the Rose Bowl's at stake, there's not much more you need for motivation than that. So we're just looking at it as an opportunity to play in the Rose Bowl, and that's all we need for motivation. Wisconsin has played great football this year, and they're deserving of all the success that they've had. And I know that with the way the last game went, they're going to be motivated and treated as a revenge game. And with the way we weren't able to be a part of the Rose Bowl last year, we see it as a chance to make amends for that as well. So both teams have plenty of motivation in this game, and that's why it's going to be a real special one.
Have you all talked about, obviously, you mentioned the Rose Bowl bit on the line. It doesn't get much bigger than that in this part of the country. Have you talked about all about how controlling your emotions and not getting too caught in the moment and the emotions of it? And just how do you expect the environment to be in Lucas Oil Stadium?
Well, I expect the environment to be electric. I expect it to be as exciting of an atmosphere as I've ever been a part of in my 5 years here at Michigan State. When you factor in the fact that it's a championship game, the Rose Bowl's on the line, two nationally ranked teams who have had a great deal of success, and then on top of that, the fact that there's just so much riding on the game, I think that we'll be ready, and it'll be an exciting atmosphere. But basically that's all I have to say about that.
Your next question comes from Teddy Greenstein with Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Kirk, when you watch tape of Wisconsin's defense since you guys played them, does it look different?
Well, Wisconsin, they're going to do all different kinds of things, and they do a nice job defensively. As I said when we played them several weeks back, they don't really have a weakness on their defense. They have a tremendous defensive line, tremendous experienced linebackers, and they have very good corners who can cover all over the field and safeties who have played a lot of football and are very disciplined and are very good with their eye control. So, I see them being the same defense that we saw several weeks ago in the fact that they're very good and they're very disciplined. They have great leadership. You can see that. They play hard at all times. And it's going to be a great challenge for us. And I would expect nothing different out of a championship game in the Big Ten Conference.
The fact that it is a rematch and the teams already know each other, how do you think that comes into play? Do you think that means that, you know, maybe their defense more likely to try some things that you didn't see, 2 months ago?
Obviously, there is some element of creativity from both teams and being able to catch teams off guard and break tendencies. But at the same time, it won't necessarily come down to who got the most creative and tricked the other team the best. It's really who was able to, win the game of football the way it's meant to be played, which is blocking and tackling. And defenses and offenses both have philosophies, and you want to stick to what you do well, and you want to stick to what's familiar, because that's what you're going to do the best. And so I think that more importantly than any changing of systems, it's going to be more about which team can play their traditional system more effectively. And I expect Wisconsin to come out and to defend us in the way that they're best at defending people and to expect that. And I think that they'll be successful in what they do, but we also expect to challenge them in every way.
All right, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Patricus with the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, Kirk, the last 2 years, you guys have been in the high 30s in third down conversion rate over the course of the year, but 50% both times against Wisconsin. And I'm just curious if you can pinpoint off the top of your head why you guys have been so much successful on third down against them than other teams.
Well, I think success on third down is a combination of factors that sometimes doesn't point itself specifically to the team you're playing. I think that ultimately you can have success on a certain play here or there just because you had the right play against the right defensive call. Sometimes it means one guy in coverage just made a mental error here or there, or a receiver made a great catch. I mean, there's so many extenuating factors that that combine to make a third down percentage this or that. So it's hard to really pinpoint why it's been a little bit higher against Wisconsin, because I think they do a great job, especially on third down. And I think it showed in a lot of teams they've played this year and the way they've held them to so few points.
And what's your confidence level when you're in the huddle on third down and you're standing there behind center?
Well, we have great receivers, and we have great running backs who are great in the passing game, catching the ball, and also in pass protection. Our offensive line has done a tremendous job, and so I trust my teammates, and I rely on my teammates, and I understand that it's not going to be just me getting the third down conversion, but there's 10 other guys in the field that I'm working together with, and we try to work together as a unit, and because I trust the guys around me, I have confidence that we can get the first down.
Thanks, Kirk.
All right, we have time for one more question for Kirk.
And your final question comes from the line of Matt Chardonnay with Detroit News.
Hey, Kirk. Not so much in the Wisconsin defense and how they've changed, but what do you see as different from your offense now, and how have you guys improved since that last time you played Wisconsin?
I think we're playing our best football right now. We've gone 4-0 in November, and we've done a good job offensively of taking care of the football, of starting fast and not getting behind as we did against Wisconsin in late October. So I see an improvement there in terms of our first half performance. And at the same time, we still are Michigan State football. We still do what we do. Our overall philosophy hasn't changed, and we're still going to bring the same approach on Saturday night.
And how hard has it been for you to put that last Hail Mary play out of your mind, and have you wanted to? Is it something you've just kind of gone back to all year, or is it something you've tried to move on from?
Oh, I treat each week separately. I mean, we play a team, and we go back on Sunday and watch the film of the game and analyze what we could have done better, and then I move on. I'm a guy who's very analytical, and I don't look at it so much emotionally. I look at it more from a chance to get better and how I can improve for the next time. So if I go back to review that Hail Mary, it'll only be because I want to be prepared for that same situation if it comes again and how I could execute it better. But I don't let the emotion of the moment or of previous games get in the way. We'll just move forward and take it one game at a time as we always have, and it's worked for us.
Thanks, Kirk.
All right, Kirk, we appreciate the time. We'll see you in Indy.
Okay, thank you.